is the right to tell what they do not want to hear. CNN, MSNBC, Fox News. Tired of the same repetitive government narratives? Then wave goodbye to the distractions and rhetoric of corporate media. For this is Anti-Media Radio.
I want to get the language right.
The government is in trouble.
After all, a bunch of slaves. A bunch of slaves.
What we need in the United States is not violence and lawlessness, but is love and wisdom and compassion toward one another.
What's your definition of me?
And now, here's your host, S.M. Gibson.
My name is S.M. Gibson, and this is Anti-Media Radio. We are your alternative to the corporate agenda, the mainstream narrative. It is August the 20th, 2015. So far, 746 Americans have been killed by police officers in 2015. 75 officers have died in the line of duty. 1,821 Americans have been killed in the city of Chicago with their strict gun laws. Doesn't look like the gun laws are working very well. 1,821 people have been shot this year. 307 homicides in the city of Chicago. Saudi Arabia, the great American allies, 122 beheadings so far this year, but when ISIS does it, we have to go to war. When Saudi Arabia does it, not a word is said anywhere across corporate media. Also, kind of interesting, speaking of the Saudis real quick, it has recently come out, which we have already known this, but the U.S. is now acknowledging this, I should say, that Saudi Arabia is using cluster bombs in Yemen when other nations have even been accused of using cluster bombs. Our government, John McCain's of the world, and lots more people inside the Pentagon have used this as an excuse for us to go take out Syria, head overseas, bomb the world. Saudi Arabia does it, not a word. I want to go ahead and bring on, as always, tonight, a wonderful producer who, by the way, who has been a big supporter of Mr. Vermin Supreme. He is completely off the train. He has abandoned the Vermin Supreme ticket, and he has found a new candidate, Mr. Shannon Madden.
You know who my candidate is?
Tell us about it, sir.
It's D.
D?
D's nuts! Got
him. He is a 15-year-old kid from Iowa. He's getting some support.
Brady Olson, D's nuts.
That is what shambles our political system.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, and not necessarily about D's nuts as a serious candidate, but why we're hearing about D's nuts right now at this very moment. Because, again, like we've said many times on this show, whenever we see a story like this come up, we immediately take a step back and try to figure out what we're missing. Why is a story like this gaining traction and we have other, quote-unquote, serious presidential candidates that have suddenly been pushed out of the spotlight for D's nuts? So we're gonna analyze that and kind of chop that up and dissect it and examine and all that kind of fun stuff that we do every week.
Top story right now on Al Jazeera America, and this is important here, is California drought up to 25% worse because of climate change. Now, the top story on the antimedia.org right now is Nestle pays only $524 to extract 27 million gallons of California's drinking water. So Al Jazeera is telling us how severe the drought is, and we're sitting here telling you the corruption that's going on behind this.
That means if they only spent $524 and they didn't make very much money off that 27 million gallons, right?
No, they're not trying to control people for profit. That's not how things work. But speaking of control, I want to, real quick, we're about to bring on Ms. Claire Burnish. She was the author of this article. We always try to have her on the show and talk about this a little bit. But this story was just on the front page of Reddit for about the past 2 hours. It was the number one story on Reddit news. It's gone. There's still a link to it. It hasn't been completely deleted off of Reddit, but it's gone from all feeds whatsoever, and it looks like a case of censorship, and why, I guess. There's a line from the article that may be a tip-off. In 2015, Forbes ranked Nestle as the 30th largest public company in the world, ahead of Google, BP, Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, IBM, Comcast, Pfizer, and Goldman Sachs. And there's some bad press going on, and Reddit has been pretty quick to get the article down. Again, not deleted. We've got the link that we had to it, but it is completely been censored off the front.
I say we bring the lady on right now to talk about it and get to the bottom of this.
Let's do it. Ms. Claire Burnish, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Fantastic.
Hey, Ms. Claire.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. Let's talk about it for a second. Let's go into the story first.
Okay.
We've talked about this story for any of our regular listeners. You've been on and we've talked about this story, but now it's kind of blowing up and it's getting mainstream recognition. I mean, it hits the front page of Reddit, it's getting mainstream recognition, and then it's just gone off the front page like that. So, to go back over what we've talked about on the show before and give people an update and tell everybody where we're at.
Just the basic rundown?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. So, Nestle had a permit to draw water in a national forest, in San Bernardino National Forest, for its Arrowhead 100% mountain spring water. It has a permit, or at least had a permit, to draw the spring water from Arrowhead Springs, but that permit expired in 1988, and they have been continuously drawing water ever since without really any oversight whatsoever, and there has been no renewal of this permit, so they really don't even have a permit right now to be doing this. And yet they have managed to come into some sort of tricky arrangement where they are still doing this, even though, you know, smaller fish like just families with cabins are forced to renew their permits and make, you know, very expensive arrangements in order to keep drawing water from, you know, the same source, basically. And so Nestle pays basically $524 per year. That's it, $524. And they continue supposedly following the guidelines of the original permit, but there is no oversight, so nobody really knows that they're following the guidelines of the original permit, and it's very likely that they are not, from all the evidence that we've seen. And they're also collecting groundwater, which is not really in the permit. So this is it's just a really bad situation, and with California's drought just unbelievably bad, it's the situation's even worse, and it's tearing up the ecosystem, and there are endangered species and threatened species in the area, and it's just causing all sorts of problems, but they continue to do so.
Real quick, I just had somebody send me this story, real quick, Claire, kind of to talk about what we were talking about earlier. Reddit has been known to censor stories about big government. There was a story about Greenwald and Snowden that they were repeatedly killing over and over and over because they didn't want people seeing it. So what's going on right now with your story? This doesn't look like the first time that it has happened.
I'm sorry, I was just looking at something.
Well, you know, the fact that your story got railroaded on Reddit, you know, SM kind of brought up the fact that this has happened before, particularly in areas that involve government and big government.
You know, it's not surprising.
Yeah, well, you know.
But it does look like precedent has been set for something like this.
Well, and it's something that all of our listeners need to be aware about when getting news from certain sources, because a lot of the sources that you get news from sometimes are censored.
Yes, they are.
Misinformation is spread. You know, we see it on a grander scale on Facebook, on people's Facebook walls. When we find out that James Brown died just a few days ago, can you believe that?
Did he?
And then we come to find out he's like been dead for like forever. Mm. But his soul still remains.
Did you hear Elvis die?
Yeah.
I do have a sneaking suspicion that part of the reason the story got pulled off the front page of Reddit is that in the 2015 Forbes, Nestle was ranked 30th in the 30th largest public company in the world, which puts it ahead of Google, BP, Johnson & Johnson, Procter & Gamble, IBM, you know. So it's not all that surprising that it got pulled. If something comes out that doesn't look so favorable,
whoa, now I think we're getting all conspiracy theory real. Let's just dial this back for a moment. Because what you're trying to tell me is that Nestle, being the 30th largest publicly traded company, according to Forbes, that they would have the power to do something like pick up a phone and call somebody over at Reddit and say, hey, you need to pull that real quick. Too many people are taking a look at it.
They're the same people that are pulling this much water out of the spring in a national forest for $524 a year.
In the middle of one of the worst droughts that California has ever seen.
They pulled it after. They pulled it after 5. It was after 5 p.m. That's after business hours. They don't have people working to care about it after.
Yeah, you can get as much water as you want to after 5.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. I was a little fuzzy on that. Because, you know, there's a lot more water after 5. Apparently.
No internet censorship after 5 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, well, that's the rundown about what's going on with Nestle, but there's a whole lot more information to come shortly on this whole issue.
Well, I look very much forward for that, the new information that you'll be releasing soon to end up on the front page of Reddit for about 45 minutes before they pull it down.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is, like, right now, like, I'm you know, I'm just completely amazed that Reddit has done this. Like, what are your thoughts about that? I know you were pretty thrilled to have your information reaching a lot of people, and then the next thing you know, it's completely gone. It was number one on Reddit News, and then just gone.
Well, honestly, my thought is if that happened just like that, then we must be doing something right.
Bingo!
We must have hit a nerve.
I actually completely agree with you.
If there wasn't something to what I'm putting in the article, you know, what we're trying to show the public, what we're trying to disclose, if there weren't something to what I was saying, there would be no reason to censor it.
Absolutely not, there wouldn't be. But apparently somebody somewhere doesn't want this information getting out there. Looks like, you know, Nestle is, I guess, going the corrupt slash smartest way about PR. It's just censoring all bad information about it.
Yeah, just get rid of it.
Yeah, I mean, just make it disappear.
Yeah, don't. You don't have to counter it. You don't have to issue an official statement. You just get somebody to push a button and it disappears.
That's it.
That's incredible.
But, you know, the First Amendment. You know, they wouldn't do that, right?
Oh, it's the first one.
Well, no, but hey, the Nestle is not the government. So, I mean, they're not really held to the same standard.
No, because, and you know, this is something like, politicians don't need money to get elected. These corporations that, you know, make good money, like, they're not buying politicians or anything. That's not happening in this country. It's not an oligarchy.
No, of course not. And, if they're able to get away with having this non-permit for over a quarter of a century to pull water out of public land, and during literally as an historic drought, there's a reason that's happening. And we're trying to get to the bottom of that, of course. And somebody doesn't want us to.
No, Nestle, too, is a lot more powerful than people realize, and they make a lot more products than people realize. I think the majority of people hear Nestle, and they think, oh, Crunch Bars.
Yeah, but, yeah, but I think Claire's closer to the point, though, because somebody's getting paid a lot more than the paltry $524. That went to who? The American taxpayers, back to the government, or whatever. You know, what was that, a fine or a little fee that they had to pay for leaving the hose faucet on a little too long?
Yeah. And the thing, you know, there's a point that I wanted to make, too, that I don't think I've really made yet, that although this is really Nestle Waters North America that is doing this, Nestle itself is an international corporation. So you have an international corporation pulling water out of public, you know, land in our country, which that kind of speaks a little bit about power and money, of course.
It does. And you know, they just got busted over in India. And I can't remember the details right now.
It was the ramen noodles.
Yeah. Exactly. So Nestle is making their mark on a global level right now.
Yeah.
But
yes.
California, I mean, they're just in this epic drought, and they're just stealing water that doesn't belong to anyone.
And they're also buying up part of like Sacramento's public water supply. I don't know. I mean, I had that in an earlier article, but I don't know if people remember that. They pay for the rights. They pay the same as everybody else to take water from Sacramento's, at least. I'm not sure if there are other locations in California as well. But they pay the same price as anybody else and take from the public supply to bottle water.
Wow. And sell it back to the American public for a profit.
Yes.
Hey, isn't that great? Man, we're in the wrong business.
You said it.
And you think about it, what's a 20-ounce bottle of water go for? About 99 cents. If you add it up, hell, that's more money than gas.
Well, that's what we were saying.
It's like,
their most popular size is a liter bottle, which they're like just under, 4 liters in a gallon, and that sells for 89 cents. If you think about what the profit would be on that, like last year they drew, or maybe it was 2013, they drew 27 million gallons of water from this, ostensibly at least, from this spring to sell. And if it's 27 million gallons and you have 3 liters a gallon at 89 cents a piece, we don't know what it costs to actually produce one of those bottles of water, but that is an insane profit margin.
And let's think about this. Nestle, first off, in that same Forbes list, they're higher than BP. Think about all the trouble people go to get oil and gas in the world. They're willing to start wars. They're willing to destroy the earth. Go to any lengths and all lengths possible. And water is more of a necessity than either oil or gas. Like, you have to have water.
Whoa.
So the monopoly that Nestle...
You're getting all crazy now. You know, the world is made up of what, 70% of water, almost 70% of water. I mean, so what are we going to start? That's what we need to start doing. We need to start basically attacking everywhere with water. Screw this. I mean, look at it. Water's selling for more than gas per gallon. I think that America's really hunting up the wrong tree right now. I think they really need to go ahead and get back in their jet planes and get in all their freighters. And we need to start occupying these countries.
Should we start drinking gas?
I don't know.
There's probably some politicians that should.
I don't know about drinking it, but sniffing is pretty good.
Remember also that a while back, one of Nestle's top executives, I might have been the CEO, said that water is not, a human right. So we kind of know the motivation here, I think, if we can at least gather the the true motive here.
Yeah, and he said that years ago. That was like a famous thing when he said that. And he was pretty much fine. I mean, this guy would get away with selling air back to people if he could.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure they've looked into it. I guarantee
you're probably right.
And it's not only the National Forest, but there's another location as well. And, like, production or drawing water from this other location in California between 2013 and 2014 went from 56 million gallons to 76 million gallons. And the drought has been going on for years. So, you know, how they're getting away with that, that's another interesting point, too.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and just do some speculation. Maybe it's possible that Nestle has bought and sold every politician in not only the state of California, but probably in Washington, D.C.
No. And y'all are reaching still. I mean, I say that American government needs to go and attack all these countries with all this valuable water. I think the time is now. I think it's time we strike hard now and we strike hard. Let's roll.
Did you hear about Canada? They've got water up there.
They got a lot of water. Have you ever seen the map of Canada? It's a whole ocean.
You know there was somebody up there was on the internet and they said, "Did you hear about this country getting a bomb?" So I assume that means Canada's trying to get a bomb. So we should probably just go attack them.
I think that's probably a good idea because they have all that water up there.
I know,
a whole ocean of water.
But it's completely unrelated though to this. They could get a bomb. So I'm scared of them.
No. We ain't worried about all that. We ain't worried about no bomb. I mean, look at our friends with Pakistan.
No, we don't. We're terrified of it.
There's a lot of thought
that the coming wars are not going to be about oil at all, and oil is kind of a distraction at this point. It's really going to be about natural resources like water. And if you don't have fresh drinking water, like the cost of desalinization and stuff, you know, people always say just desalinate the ocean. It's not that simple. It's extremely expensive to do so. I mean, the water is, like, more precious than oil by far. So, you know, not looking out for what's going on with something like Nestle, I mean, they think they can just get away with it. Unless we draw attention to it, we're kind of all screwed.
Yeah, particularly the people of California, because if you do not have water, guess what? You die. I mean, it's not just about you're uncomfortable, you can't drive your car, or this, that, and that. No, you die.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
And things, too, like, as you said, Claire, this is really where the war and the control comes from, and it's never a topic we really hear about. I mean, you'll definitely hear, you know, liberal Democrats get on MSNBC and say, well, they're just fighting all these wars for oil. They're fighting all these wars for oil. How dare they do that? But as soon as something like this is mentioned, it makes the front page of Reddit, and boom, it's gone. Disappears into the air. And nobody really wants to address this something, which is a far bigger deal.
It tells you how important it is. It tells you, like, where the real importance lies. You know, they let the controversy, like, rage on about just about everything else, but as soon as you hit the right nerve, things get pulled. You know, like, this example, as soon as you find something that really they have an interest in, that's when they pull it. That's when they try to, like, censor it, no matter what it is, water, anything. I mean, this is a prime example of that.
It's very true. I mean, we see that, you know, not to really go too far into this, but when Ron Paul ran for president, they would literally just act like he wasn't running, like he didn't even exist.
Exactly.
And that's what they do. If it's something they, you know, they don't want being said, it's not there.
If it poses a threat, like an honest, actual threat, they will do anything to silence it, which is why, you know, you have dissent being silenced and stuff. If something poses an actual threat, the government will try to shut it down.
Very, very, very true. I tell you what, before we let you go tonight, we won't get too far into this, but I wanted you to just kind of give a quick overview real quick of this town in Massachusetts that you wrote about.
I love this story.
Yesterday.
Really, this story is incredible.
Okay. Yeah, Gloucester, Massachusetts, which, by the way, for anybody who remembers, was kind of the home for the actual real-life story of the perfect storm with the fishermen and stuff, so it's kind of like a town with a lot of history. But their police chief just kind of on the spur of the moment went on Facebook and made a post that he wanted, he was really frustrated with opiate and heroin addicts and, like, all the deaths that were happening, and he just didn't see, like, an end in sight or any possibility of solving the issue. So he frustratedly put on Facebook, you know, if you need help, come to us and we'll help you out. And then it kind of snowballed from there. And he basically said that anybody, any addict who comes into the police station and even brings, you know, their supply and their needles or whatever, if they come in and ask for help and say that they want to go into recovery, that the police would help them make that happen and not arrest them and not penalize them at all. And it's working.
I mean, for the United States of America, that's crazy.
Yeah, I know. Imagine that. But, he had instituted this plan and became so popular that he helped form, like, a nonprofit to kind of organize the effort, and other cities are looking at doing the same thing, at least 3 cities in Massachusetts, and it's gained a lot of national attention, so there are other cities looking into doing this as well. And at least 100 people so far have sought help, and they have treatment centers, like 20 different treatment centers that they've referred people to. People seeking help have come from as far as California. You know, 1 in 6 people come from out of state to Gloucester, Mass, just to seek help from this police chief. And this program, it's about actually making a difference and actually working on the problem instead of just trying to criminalize the problem and make it go away that way, because that just won't work.
How are you supposed to make money from that, player?
And again, that's why they're not making it go away. They want that money to be there. Let's go ahead and get that straight right now.
Yeah.
You know, again, and I've said this before, I recently lost a sister-in-law to a heroin overdose. It was actually heroin cut with that fentanyl, maybe I'm not saying
something
it right.
Like that.
Yeah, the stuff that they put on those really high-strength pain patches, it was heroin cut with that. We didn't know. She was a mother of two, 28 years old, was gainfully employed. She was definitely not your stereotypical heroin addict. She'd had problems with it in the past, and she had a relapse in the absolute worst possible way. And before she had reached out for help, it was too late. So, you know, this is the treatment that has you know, America's needed for a long time now, particularly with heroin. There are a lot of other drugs out there that are very nasty, but heroin in particular has been killing people in droves recently. Within the past couple of years here in Jefferson County, Alabama, where Birmingham is situated, we have had 2 record years, and this year we've already easily eclipsed last year, and we're only halfway through.
I literally do not know one person under the age of 40 that doesn't know somebody. Jeez, I don't know anybody hasn't lost somebody in the past
3
years.
I've lost 3 people in the past 3 years.
I've lost 2.
You know, and again, when sister-in-law, that's, I mean, you know, there's not too much closer you can get than that.
Yeah, I mean, first time or, geez, it's been about a year ago now. I was out in San Diego with Nick and got a phone call. And one of my best friends going up, kid right down the street from me, OD'd on heroin.
Yeah, I know people as well. And, you know, this is a bigger issue, too, because for one thing, we're protecting the opiate supply in Afghanistan. So the big pharma can use opiates more, you know, more liberally for anybody who wants it. And so you have a lot of people who started off like legitimately seeking help for pain and end up hooked on heroin. And the whole opiate problem is huge, and it's getting worse and worse and worse. So this solution that this police chief has is actually an incredibly valid and really worthwhile solution.
Completely agree with you. Now, what do you think about the people? I've heard a few people talk about, you know, that the city is still making arrests. And, you know, they haven't completely stopped the drug war up there, but they are giving people an opportunity to come in. And I've heard people, you know, well, this is just, it's still terrible, and it's still part of the system.
Okay, so they're still arresting people because they're still cops, and it's still the U.S., and we still have, you know, the drug war going on. But this is at least a viable solution. It's a, you know, it's the start of something. You have to start somewhere. I mean, it's not like we're going to become Portugal overnight where they decriminalized all drugs and have, you know, seen enormously good benefits out of that with, like, reduced drug addiction rates and reduced crime and everything else. We're not going to see that because this is the U.S., and let's face it, it just isn't going to happen anytime soon, if at all. But this is something, and it's a start, and it's a good way to get people help, because there are plenty of people who want help but don't know how else to do it. And seeing somebody in authority just say, come and, you know, come here and we'll get you help for free, I think it's a sign of hope.
I do, too. I agree with that. I think, you know, so many things that we see in our country that are, you know, similar to this, is it everything that we want? No. But, you know, it's better than what we have. It's giving people a little bit of hope. It's a step in the right direction. And for me, it's really frustrating when you get people that they think, well, if we don't wake up tomorrow and get everything we want, then it's all pointless and stupid.
Right.
And you have to start somewhere, just like you said. We have to start somewhere.
Right, because if you don't start somewhere, you're not going to make any progress whatsoever. And you can't expect a clean slate and everything to change overnight, and then it's going to be okay. And, just taking small steps, sometimes that's what it takes. And you have to accept that, because it's certainly better than what was, which is nothing.
It's very true. Well, I tell you what, Claire, thank you so, so much for calling in tonight. You may not be on the front page of Reddit anymore, but you are definitely still on the front page of theantimedia.org. So screw you, Reddit. We don't care about you and your site.
No fucks given.
Thank you. You guys have a good night.
Yes, ma'am. You too.
Bye, Miss Claire.
Bye.
So, we said a lot in that conversation right there, especially with the Nestle deal. And I think one reason outside of what we've seen tonight, which is, I mean, I guess we should expect it at this point, but it's still kind of hard to get your head around when you actually see it. You know, you're like, oh, I know they do that. I know they do that. But when you see it with your own eyes and you know, it's your own article, it puts a different perspective on it. It's no longer this, you know, conspiracy that they're censoring the media. For those of you that are just joining us, we just got done speaking with one of our wonderful journalists, Ms. Claire Burnish, who wrote an article about Nestle and their monopoly on the water supply in the state of drought-ridden California. That story had gone to the front page of Reddit about an hour or so before we went on air tonight, and was the number one story on Reddit News. It is completely gone. Gone.
Buried.
Yeah. So when we talk about even something like Reddit is censoring, it's not just CNN. You know, if Reddit won't allow a story to go up.
Any story.
No matter
what the content
is. It could be about ponies doing jumping jacks.
So if this story doesn't mean that much, then why is it being censored? That's the question that everybody needs to be asking right
and
now.
And that's the way Reddit works. It could be, you know, about anything. If it gets the upvote, it's going to be there on the front page. But if we're seeing Reddit take down something that they don't want you to see, that is not, you know, a news organization. They're just there to, you know, to have links from other pages or from this other site. What do you think the CNNs and the Fox Newses and the MSNBCs are doing?
Oh, gracious.
Do you think they're even getting close to talking about the news?
Well, I don't know. Pick up your TV remote and start flipping the channels and see who else brings this story up.
Nobody's going to talk about it.
Bought and paid for. Silence.
Let's go ahead and go to a call real quick. Area code 770. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
My name is Mike. Calling from Georgia.
Brennan from Georgia, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'd like to know what's going on with all the martial law training exercises that no media is reporting.
Jade Helm, we have had one of our writers who works with a few different organizations. He's out in Houston, Derek Bros, and he has been really, he's one to follow if you don't know about him. He's been keeping up with it, and so far, He doesn't have anything very nefarious to report on it. Again, it's still an unnerving situation because, you know, why are they having these mass exercises? But as of right now, there's nothing really big to report on.
Well, I can tell you this firsthand.
Okay.
I had the opportunity to take a temporary job out in Salt Lake City this year, so I got to drive back and forth across the country. And many situations I saw mass military stuff being moved around and all that. Is that just because we pull it out of the wars and all that? They're just stockpiling it near our cities now?
They are definitely, I mean, there are definitely military exercises going on, and they are, is definitely a lot of military equipment right now out in the West. My wife's family has, they're out in Texas, and they report seeing stuff.
I'm moving to Utah in 2 weeks. I'm leaving Georgia. I am done with this state. This state is crazy, and they're keeping stuff spun up here that's, you don't want to be in this state. This is the worst state you could be in, possibly, especially near Atlanta.
We're in Alabama, so we know all about it.
Y'all are leaving Mississippi out. Mississippi could easily be worst state in the union. I challenge anybody from Mississippi to call in right now and challenge me on that.
Hey, I now agree with you on that one. Louisiana's a close second.
Hey, I don't say.
Oh yeah. Oh, easy.
I don't say anything bad about people in Louisiana.
I like New Orleans.
Those people will skin me alive. I don't mess with Louisiana.
Yeah, that's hardcore.
But yeah, absolutely. What you're talking about, and once you get out there, and if you see anything, please call back and let us know and report, you know, what you see going on out there, and we would definitely like to hear it. Because, again, a lot of what we've covered here at Anti-Media has been more centered on Texas. But again, exactly what you're saying is true.
Texas is a no-brainer. Texas is the only country that has the right to secede from the United States legally. And if they do, they'd be the richest country on earth.
Well, they're never going to let them do it, though.
Nah. They can self-support. They have ports. They have oil. And they don't have to listen to bureaucracy. So, well, they would be the most successful country on this planet.
You don't, unless somebody's got a gun pointed at you. Just remember that.
Very true.
And that's why Texas will never secede from the Union.
No, they're never going anywhere. Of course, the United States would never let that gem go. I mean, that's a no-brainer. That's how they got them to start with, but they're the only country that became a state that has the right to become a country again.
It's very true. I tell you what, thank you so, so much for calling in tonight. And again, if you hear of anything going out in Salt Lake City, please call in again and let us know. And good luck on your move. So, Shannon, I know you. We talked about it a little bit at the beginning, but we got into the whole Nestle thing.
The most important story of the night. I've been on
of the night, maybe of the whole campaign.
On the edge of my seat all night, waiting to talk about this one particular subject.
So, for our regular listeners, you'll know this about Shannon. For those that are just joining us tonight, Shannon's been very, very, very high on Vermin Supreme.
Who will not call in? Who will not discuss any of the policies and issues with me? I fear the boot no longer. I'm sorry. I'm taking it to D.
You've been all about that boot.
I'm taking my vote to D.
You're going.
He's nuts.
I'm on pause you right now. Area code 262. Welcome to Anti-Media Radio. This is your host, S.M. Gibson. Tell us your name and where you're calling from tonight.
Yeah, my name is Eddie. I'm calling from Lake Geneva, Wisconsin.
Eddie from Wisconsin. Tell us what's on your mind.
Well, you know, have you guys been following what's going on in the world right now? And, you know, as far as South America, economies dropping through the tank. China's having problems. You know, they had...
China's having major problems right now.
Well, $3 trillion marked off their stock market, you know, a month ago. Then they tried to devalue their currency. And then a couple days later, their port blows up. You know, it sounds like some kind of economic warfare going on here between China, Russia. I look what's going on in Russia. You got the reports that phosphorus bombs were dropped from Kiev over into the east.
I heard that, and it wasn't, what was it, 6 months ago when, you know, Russia's currency collapsed, but it, you know, it made its way back up.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is the West came back, and they had the oil prices, they had the oil prices manipulated down just to kill all these people that are trying to make, so you got Iran, you know, other countries that are, you know, Saudi Arabia, it's not going to hurt because you give them money anyway.
No, Saudi Arabia don't care what's going on. I mean,
They're part of the West.
Exactly. And it
we got a power struggle between the Western powers, which is the U.S., all of Britain, you know, a lot of other countries, and then the BRICS banks. And I think we've got an economic war going on already. You know, you got the North bombing the South Korea. There's a lot of things going on. I don't think people are realizing what's happening in the world right now.
It really is. It's all over the place. And I don't know if people heard about that earlier, but yeah, they're firing at each other on the border.
Yeah, there's a lot of things going on right now. And, you know, this country, we are screwed. I mean, we got Hillary Clinton. All right, she's a criminal running for frickin' president, for one. We got Trump. That's probably some kind of wild card in the mix here for going over to the Democrat side. And, you know, this is crazy.
It is.
There's no leadership. I mean, we've got a bunch of criminals running the government here. So it's like all three branches have merged.
It seems that way, and I think, I don't know if it's the age of the Internet. I don't know if it's because, you know, the younger generation's become more informed. But I think if you look at things historically for the past, since 1963 really is the big mark for me, and it, of course, what's going on before then.
Well, when they knew they can get away with murdering a president, they can get away with anything, right?
Yes, that's
absolutely
it.
No,
that's exactly where it is. I mean, the guy was going to go against the Federal Reserve and the CIA.
He was definitely. I mean, there was no doubt the beef that he had between the CIA.
You know, and we've got to start realizing as a country that, hey, the founders knew that the Rothschilds were buying up Europe and controlling governments. They gave us powers, man. First Amendment, to speak our mind and not to be thrown in jail because of it.
And then the Second Amendment.
It's the First Amendment, the Fourth Amendment, not to have your papers seized. Mm-hmm. We're losing it. We're losing all of it.
Well, the Fourth Amendment's non-existent at this point.
It's gone. Completely.
You know, they're trying to do the Second. Good luck with that, with 300 million plus guns in this country.
Yeah, they're never going to fully get rid of the Second Amendment. And if they do, it's going to be loud.
People aren't going to, they're not going to put up with it.
They're not, but the amazing thing is not only will they let their Fourth Amendment rights be taken away, they will cheer for the person to expose the crimes and cheer him as some sort of treasonous criminal and call for him to come over here and be tried.
In the case,
you know, it just seems to me that a lot of these shootings and stuff going on, these are probably red flags just to get rid of the Second Amendment. People in this country need to wake up.
They do.
They really need to start plugging in, man, because you know what? We're going to lose it.
That's it. I think right now the most important thing that people can do is to not only become informed, because I think we can all know everything all day long, but if we don't act on it and we're too scared to voice our opinion, then everything's going to stay the same, everything's going to be status quo. And we've talked about on this show, and I think the whole Trump candidacy, and we're talking about these nuts getting 9%. I think
my boy,
it's people are so fed up with the normal mainstream politician. They're sick of the way things are running, and Trump is running, and it's very important to state this. He's running like he's an outsider. He's clearly not. He's clearly part of the whole system, and nobody's looking past into what he really is. They're just seeing some guy out there with two middle fingers up in the air calling them all idiots, and they're like, I like that guy.
Yeah. So what do y'all think about Rand Paul running for president here?
I was big on Rand a few years ago.
You know, the guy that's the only one that defended the Constitution for the office to defend the Constitution in that debate.
He did, and I tell you,
only one. The man was sick. Everybody came out and said the guy was sick. He almost passed out in the elevator.
I give him complete credit in that debate. I think he was the only one that actually made any valid, genuine points in that debate.
Yeah, I think everybody needs to sit back and wait for Rand Paul to really get going here.
I think
the man is the only one that's standing up for liberty.
He has definitely done some good things. I think him standing up for the Patriot Act was a very good thing. I know people that can't stand Rand Paul, and even they were applauding him for that move.
Right.
So
you got to remember, he's in a funny situation. His father, okay, was all about liberty. I mean, all about liberty. You know it. And he was shunned.
Oh.
And that still remains, and that's a hurdle that Rand's got to get over.
Ron definitely wasn't, and
And he's got to play the game to satisfy everybody, you know. He's got a tight thing going there.
It's true, and it kind of is what it is. With me, I won't endorse any canon here, but I'll tell you this right now. I'd vote for Ron Paul tomorrow. I don't care.
Ron Paul was incredible.
I'd vote for Ron Paul
tomorrow.
Happy
birthday, Ron. 80 years old today.
It is. Happy birthday, Ron Paul.
Wow,
yeah, absolutely.
But, I don't care who knows that. I'd vote for Ron Paul tomorrow. I'd vote for him yesterday. I'd vote for him today.
Yep.
You know,
there's something else I wanted to mention, too. You know, I'm on Facebook a lot. I post a lot of stuff. I try to spread the truth. I've been researching this stuff for 15 years as far as all the Rothschilds and the Rockefellers and, you know, all the stuff that they've done. And people got to realize a lot of stories that are on Facebook and social media, these are CIA-fed crap to divide us. You know, there's a lot of propaganda and, you know, crazy stuff being said on Facebook and all this stuff.
I will say this.
You got to know some of it's propaganda, folks. Let's be real here.
I'll say this. As somebody that's been involved in doing that for quite some time, I do think there is an element there. I think that element.
Absolutely.
I think that element's a lot smaller than you think. And honestly, what I think a lot of it is, it's the same result, so it doesn't really matter. But I think there's a lot of people that just want to post the craziest story in the world just to get clicks.
Yeah.
So they can get paid. The results are the same, whether it's the CIA or not the same. It's still disinformation. But I tell you what, absolute great call. Thank you so much for calling in tonight. Please,
wonderful caller.
Yeah, wonderful call. Please call in again soon. Okay, Shannon, it's your time. You got to tell us about it.
These nuts. These young man from Iowa, Brady Olson, who has went in and filled out all of the proper paperwork with the FEC.
He's 15.
15, but there's some loophole because, what was the cat? Something about, something about.
Waka Flocka Flame's like 28. He signed the paper. So.
Yeah. So, we have a large, wide field of candidates. I believe there's over 500 people have officially declared candidacy for the President of the United States. Berman Supreme was one.
A lot of them ain't getting 9% of the vote.
And this is the funny thing about the timing of all of this. Because in the middle of all this, let's think about our quote-unquote serious candidates, Bernie Sanders, Hillary Clinton, Donald Trump, and Donald Trump.
Jeb Bush, though, a little
not
bit.
Not really. Eh, a little
they're
bit.
Still, they're still mentioning him.
Donald Trump is steamrolling over all of the other competition right now. I mean, right now, just at this moment. I'm not talking about a month from now or 6 months from now, but right now at this moment, Donald Trump does have the numbers to pretty much take over the GOP. On the other side, which is not the GOP's handpicked choice, I might add. So we have that on one side. And then on the other side, we have Bernie Sanders' complete rise from nowhere to challenge Hillary Clinton, who's getting beaten the hell up right now. Federal court Judge Emmett Sullivan basically kind of suggested that Hillary Clinton violated government policy by storing official emails on a private server while she was Secretary of State. Now, Hillary's staff has gone on record as saying, no, she did everything above board. She was allowed to have a private server for her emails, just like all of the other secretaries of state do. So I would invite any secretary of state to please call in right now and tell us if you were allowed to have a private server or not. I would probably
open invite secretary of state,
because that clearly violates first and foremost the Freedom of Information Act, because the American public has a right to see those emails And of course, you know,
the, those emails belong to the American public.
Absolutely, because the American public bought, paid for that computer and apparently that private server, not the server that the president and everybody else has to use, but her own private server. This that right there is the very, very tip, the very top, tip top of the iceberg when we go to talking about Hillary Clinton and all of the very dark, dark, dark corners of her past and a lot of the skeletons that rattle around in her closet. And I'm not talking about the Hummer that Bill Clinton got in the Oval Office. We're talking about Hillary Clinton personally. Forget about Bill Clinton because, you know, and there has been a huge...
The only reason she still even has a career is because of Bill Clinton. Because he is so personable as a politician and his so good at smoothing people and that political speak. She's horrible at it.
Economy had been better since he was president, regardless of whatever theory that you might cling on to,
very
whether
true.
It was a result of trickle-down economics or whatever the case may be. It was still pretty rosy in and around the Clinton years.
Inflation was still kicking, though.
Yeah, it was. But again, there was a lot more money to go around that was actually worth something.
Well, compared to
that last little bit we printed up, starting in the Bush years and ending up with the Obama administration, to
the
help
QE Infinity,
and all of our friends in the banking industry that had misled us. You know, we're getting off topic. These nuts for president. This candidate, 15-year-old kid, somehow finagled the system, which the system is easily finagled these days, apparently, and that's kind of what this highlights.
Do you really believe that 9% of the people that were polled in North Carolina voted for these nuts? Maybe that's true. But maybe it's the media just trying to, like you said, here's a little something to pay attention to because we don't want you to pay attention to this.
And again, why is a story like this, how has it made its way into mainstream media? And why is mainstream media picking this up instead of talking about the quote-unquote serious candidates and all of the havoc that they've wreaked on the whole entire system?
Listen to me.
The powers that be are pissed off right now. Bet your ass.
We live in a world. Let's talk about real facts. We live in a world where a story that was written by an independent news outlet, the anti-media, just makes it to another website, and people are viewing it from that website. It is then censored and taken down. No mainstream outlet covers that monumental news about what Nestle Corporation is doing. Not one covers it.
In the middle of the worst drought in California.
It's not even allowed to be covered on just a website where you just click on a link to another page. Mm-hmm. And yet, the corporate media is all about saying, but these nuts got 9%.
Yeah. Go look it up. It's on YouTube. Somebody did pretty much a mishmash of, I believe it was the news anchors from all across the world, all across the nation, talking about the D's Nuts story. And you know, we brought it up before show. If this had happened 10 years ago or 12 years ago, several elections ago, do you think that this would seriously be considered news and would actually be reported on news?
No.
Yeah.
Not even close. I will say this, though. I know who I want Sean Hannity to vote for. These nuts!
These nuts! I got him.
Oh, man. What a joke the whole thing has become.
And this underscores how much of a joke it has become. If Donald Trump didn't do it for you, I mean...
That's the thing.
Just a setup. Here's the punchline. These nuts is actually almost just about getting double digits. It's getting more percentage points than most of the field of Republican candidates right now.
Yeah.
That is incredible.
It's not most. It is most.
These
There's
nuts.
Like two candidates polling over 9% for the Republican.
Hillary Clinton, you know what you got to look out for? These nuts.
I tell you this, and I think it's funny, the poll that had 9% for these nuts, it had 40% for Trump and 38% for Hillary. And I see that poll and I see 9% for these nuts, 40 Trump, 38 Hillary. I'm just like, man, 78% of Americans are stupid. how dare they would ever vote for Trump or Hillary.
But then when you look at the minority of the actual available voting public that's going to the polls to begin with, to be galvanized by candidates such as these nuts. You can't make this up, man.
Okay, for those of you who haven't turned on the news, you can, I guess, I don't know if it's on Netflix, but Idiocracy by Mike Judge, it's the equivalent of watching the news at this point. So if you have that DVD and want to know what's happened that day, just pop in that movie and pretty much do the same thing.
Better yet, if you really, I mean, we talk about 1984 so often on this show ad nauseum, which is one of the most incredible novels ever written. But you really want to see a true, genuine glimpse of the future, Mike Judge is Idiocracy.
Did you know that I figured out how Nestle can solve all the water drought problems? I figured out how you can solve it all.
How's that?
Electrolytes. Pour some electrolytes on them.
They do have the energy that plants crave.
They do.
Yeah. It's electrolytes.
It's true. And so we need, the plants need electrolytes. That's who I'm voting
it's
for.
The, yeah, that's right. It's the electrolytes plants crave. I'm sorry. Been a minute since I've seen it.
Either way, it ain't Idiocracy. It's the United States of America. Here's the question. Was Luke Wilson in that movie? Is he in the United States of America? Exactly.
Yep. He's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, as far as the political system goes, it really, truly is, it's theater. It's a joke, and it's theater. And to me, it would be maybe the greatest comedy of all time, and I'm, you know, forget the Marx Brothers.
Is it really a comedy?
Oh, no, it's not. It's a tragedy. It is a tragedy because this is our real life. This is really happening. These people are ruling the world.
And that's really what the office of the President of the United States of America has been reduced to. These nuts.
It's true. And I think that's symbolic of how frustrated people are. I think it's symbolic of how far the media is willing to go to distract you. I think it's all just a joke. I don't even know it. I don't have any words to say. Shannon, say something. I'm so frustrated right now.
This is a candidate that I hope and pray that Bill O'Reilly, Rachel Maddow, Sean Hannity, Megyn Kelly, Joe Scarborough, and any other hack that happens to be on quote-unquote cable news. This is a candidate that I really hope that they get behind. These nuts. Drop some mic.
Mic drop, 1-2-1-2.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. This is the deal. We can sit here and we can talk about the distractions. People need to stay informed, and there is an active campaign right now in this country to keep you uninformed. They do want you talking about these nuts. They want you talking about Donald Trump. They want you talking about whatever's in the news. Sorry, I haven't kept up with whatever Sean Hannity's mad about today.
No, and they certainly don't want you to keep up with the top 30 or one of the top 30 companies on Forbes 500.
Certainly not.
Nestle paying a paltry $524 to extract 27 million gallons of Californians' water that they so desperately are clamoring for right now.
No
fucks given. None. Middle fingers high in the
air. I'm going to guess there were none given either when Aaron Swartz quote-unquote hung himself either because he was against all this stuff that's going on. Now, we know it happened tonight. Reddit censors news they don't want out there. You can't trust anybody. You can't trust anything you read. They want true news suppressed. And by they, it is these corporations. Nestle. The media conglomerates. Reddit, Google. We're going to be back next week. Shannon.
These nuts for president.
Join Nick on Monday. SM Gibson out. Anti-media. Peace out. I'ma let them know, through the stereo. Yo, here we go through the